The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. I have Gunjini Patel on, and she's a licensed mental health specialist, trauma specialist, and neuroscience nerd, kind of like me, and the host of the Traumatic Transformations podcast, where she's all about providing hope, peace, purpose after big life change or traumatic events. She's all about reducing the stigma associated with mental health issues. And today we're going to talk about how to navigate your own mental health and more, since we need some help right now with all that's going on with COVID and some steps we can take to get our mind right on our own terms right now. So Gunjini, thank you for dealing with me and all of my hot mess and getting you to this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here, Dr. Krause. It has been such a pleasure getting to know you with this entire journey. So I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
Hey, no problem. So trauma is a big thing, as we both know. And I think we've all been traumatized this year because it's like the year of, oh, but wait, we can't do this. Oh, but wait, it's the holidays. You can't see your family. You can't hug your grandma. You know, this is a big deal. We're losing out on like our tribes and our connection. And I'm guessing you're seeing a lot of folks coming into your office really struggling with this loss of deep connection to people.
Absolutely. You couldn't have put it better. You know, this year has been a year of a lot of changes. There's just so much going on, you know, in terms of just social connections, which is what keeps us together as humans. But, you know, those changes have been so big that I find myself in my practice, people's stress levels have gone up. There is so much anxiety. There is all these deep rooted issues that weren't, you know, faced before are now surfacing. So there's a lot of stuff going on in terms of feeling stuck, in terms of feeling overwhelmed, in terms of all these different things and changes and issues that are now surfacing, and just stress levels that people are seeing as a result of all these big changes that happen. Because obviously we're not designed to deal with change and accept change till it happens. And now it's sort of making us look at things head on and, you know, telling us, sort of leading us into a place where we need to learn compassion and we need to look at these issues. We need to face this and, you know, sort of really dive deep into it so that we can do something about it and it can help us align into our higher purpose. Because adversity, I think, teaches us that if we are not faced with adversity, we don't tend to look at things. We're just on autopilot. Hi, everything is great. And sometimes not everything is great.
That's true. There's true. It's nothing like a pandemic that helps you to take a dive inward and go, what can I do to improve myself, my relationships, and all of that crap that's happened to me all of these years?
Absolutely. Because, you know, as a society, I think generally we just don't tend to discuss emotions. We equate emotions with being weak, being, you know, not having strength. And to me, in my practice and just mental health and just the way I look at things and my perspective of things is I tell my patients whenever I do even a free phone consult, if someone calls me and, you know, I speak with them, I thank them for taking that first step and being courageous and having the strength to actually want to deal with these things, you know, because they're not easy, obviously. And that's one of the reasons why we keep putting it in the back burner. But if we don't deal with it, I found that with time, it compounds and it gets worse over time. So either we look at it and learn to deal with it and figure out what it is and how to, you know, adapt to it, as opposed to let's suppress it, let's not talk about it, it's not happening, and let's live in denial and ignorance. I think that makes things worse.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I think so many people right now have pushed off things.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, in relationships in some cases, because I'm seeing, well, we're stuck at home with our significant other.
Yeah.
Got to face a little more time. Like, how does that look?
It's so true. And, you know, actually, I was doing just as a part of my podcast and just doing research, like you mentioned earlier, my podcast is called Traumatic Transformations. And it's like, you know, people going through hardcore adversities and going through all these stressors and trauma. Because to me, everybody at some point of their lives goes through trauma. And the word trauma is big and heavy in charge. And we think, oh, you know, unless it's like a combat or accident or death of a loved one, we don't tend to look at things as traumatic. But there's also in the trauma world, there's a concept called small T, which is things that causes stress, you know, small trauma. What's traumatic to one person isn't traumatic to the other. And it absolutely lies in the eyes of the beholder. So it's really what is distressing to you. And a lot of people, sometimes if you've been through big, heavy things, and you've been through healing, and you've been through, you've done adaptive necessary changes through therapy or through other mediums, you know, because I'm very big on holistic approach of healing and holistic approach to trauma. It doesn't just happen in the mind, and it's not just in you can think yourself out of trauma a lot of times, which is what people think. I really think that it affects your brain, all parts of your brain. It affects your body, which increases all these stress response and, you know, all this neuroscience part happen to it. And we absolutely hold those pains and those unresolved things, if we don't resolve it, in our body over time. So it's really important that we work through some of the things so that, you know, we don't have to continue living life in distress and sort of have a more adaptive, spiritual, holistic way of looking at things. Life is not always great, but sometimes when it's bad, if you've learned in the past, you're resilient and strong and develop strength to deal with those things. But if this is the first thing that has been just the most distressing thing you've dealt with, that's a small T you're going through, you know? So I think just to keep that in perspective and not saying, oh no, it'll go away, or oh no, it's fine, everything is great and everything, you know, it's not great, and that's okay too. I'm very big on acknowledging bad emotions or feeling bad emotions and just understanding what it's trying to teach us as opposed to resisting or repressing it.
Oh, absolutely. Because every negative emotion is an education for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a time when the body's like, hand up, whoa, hold up.
Alert.
Alert. Exactly. Like beep, 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 beep. Hey, wait a minute. Something's up. And I think the tendency, and I hear it a lot too in the positive thought movement, is to just like change your thought right away. No.
Oh, yes.
Or that thought a little bit better. So
yes.
What kind of things do you work with your clients right now in terms of exploring their thoughts? What's kind of like one step or a basic step that even the audience might be able to start the process of diving a little deeper into what's going on with them?
So one of the biggest things that I teach my clients is awareness. If we don't know what's happening, we don't know how to treat it. If we don't know how to look at it, we don't know how to process it. So one of the biggest things is when you're feeling stress, I tell people two, three things that happen as a part of the step process. Where one, just become aware that you're having a bad day. Become aware that you're having a bad moment. Become aware that you feel stressed. Learn and increase. One of the biggest things I teach my clients is emotional intelligence. We're so focused on smart, GPA, this, that, intelligence, IQ, but we don't know or learn or focus on EQ, which is emotional intelligence, which is knowing and becoming aware of your emotions as you have them, instead of resisting, repressing, or, you know, not addressing them. Becoming aware is the first thing. So how many times during the day do you feel this way? What is it that you are exactly feeling? So attach the feelings to your emotions. Emotions and feelings are often used interchangeably, but they're actually two separate things. Emotions happen in your brain, in your subconscious brain, whereas feelings is your state, or more like a, so like when you say, I feel joy, you feel fear, but the emotion is terror. So there are two separate things, even though we use them interchangeably, you know. So it's really important to recognize what you're feeling. And the thing about emotions is you feel them in your body. So recognizing where the physical sensations that you're feeling in your body, I am feeling stress. Where do you feel it? In my heart, in my neck, in my shoulders, in my legs, in my knees, wherever you feel and carry your emotions, really big and important to recognize being aware of what is going on for you in that moment. Give it a shape, color, size, form. It looks dark. I don't like it, you know? So the more you give it language, the more you feel it, the more you become aware of it, then instead of attaching, just allow yourself to feel it for a bit or two, and then notice it just watch by, or, you know, just float away like clouds. The more the more negativity or the more intensity that you feel as a part of that emotions, those neural networks keep growing. So every thought has a neural network in your brain. Your brain has 86 billion neurons through your entire body, and they're each connected to 10,000 others. So every thought has a neural network. So like a color white or color yellow, or, you know, I am feeling good has a neural network. I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling crappy. Everything is the more we think about certain things, the more you pay attention to those thoughts, the more those neural networks grow. The more they grow, the more you keep them. It's like a vinyl, you know, the more you keep playing the same thing, it gets etched and it gets deeper and bigger and louder. I mean, just deep. The more that happens when you get in that negative loop. So a lot of times you'll be thinking, oh, you know what? I am going to a grocery store. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, if you're so in the negative loop and thinking the same thing over and over, I'm going to get hit by a train or I'm going to get COVID. And it's like, you're going to the grocery store. You've been to the grocery store at least, you know, 50 times this year. You didn't end up with COVID. You are not going to end up with COVID. So the idea is recognizing what you're feeling, becoming aware where you're feeling it, and then not attaching so much intensity to it, instead saying, hey, there's no evidence to prove that I'm just going to get COVID because I'm going to go to a grocery store. So just watch and go by. The more you neutralize the thought, the less it keeps growing. The more you, because instead of going from a negative, and that's one of the things that I teach people, it's like, instead of going from a negative to positive, go to a little neutral place so that you're not intensifying it, nor are you not going to be able to not believe it. So like, if you really are fearful that you're going to get COVID, if you make yourself, no, I'm not going to get COVID, you're not going to believe it. But you come to a place where you are like, you know what? If I haven't gotten COVID in 50 times that I've been there prior to this visit, it's okay. There's no evidence to prove I'm going to wash my hands or do all the necessary regulating things that I do in order to keep myself safe. And then I'll be right home and it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But if you keep saying to yourself, no, I'm going to end up with COVID, I'm going to end up with COVID, I'm going to end up with COVID, you're really expanding those negative and stressful, anxious feelings and those neurons, and it's not serving you any purpose. So instead, just watch it go by, then you do your thing and you go about your day. A lot of times, the other technique that I tell people to do is writing your thoughts down. A lot of times when we have the intensity or we put things in paper, it decreases the intent. It allows the emotions to surface and then you process it out, as opposed to keeping it in and then it keeps brewing and gets stronger. Let it out. Talk about it. Do your friends or family. Support is one of the biggest things we need through this time. Even though we don't physically see people, we can call people. We can have Zoom meetings. There are all these social media support groups. There are all these social media accounts. Also, connecting yourself to other positive things in your life or people. Like, you know, my social media, when I first thing wake up in my morning, I don't sit and scroll through my phone. I just don't. I meditate instead. I take 10 minutes to just start my day, to bless my day, to have a good day, to visualize just love and kindness towards myself and all the people living around me in my house, all the people living in the community around me. Just having a good, positive, loving, kind start to my day is very important. And just that's exactly how I end my day too. That, you know what? And three things that you're grateful for. Because in these times, it's so easy to get carried away with all the things that are negative and not happening that we forget that we're at least alive. There are so many people whose families got wiped out because of this entire thing. We're at least alive. We have, you know, food on the table. We have, you know, our health. We got better. We were few people. So just three things that you're grateful for at the start of your day and at the end of the day. They say that when you're grateful, you really increase those. So there's a whole thing about cortisol and IgA, and I'm a little geek on that. So I can talk about it if you want. But just the more grateful that you are, the more you actually, through your thoughts, can build your internal immune response by decreasing the cortisol and just feeling, not just saying things you're grateful for, but just feeling that feeling of gratefulness. When you vibrate at that frequency, you actually do things to your body and brain that are helpful to fight those things, as opposed to getting carried away with, I'm going to end up with COVID, or I'm going to die, or the worst thing is going to happen.
Absolutely. No, I think we should geek a little bit out on cortisol, because I think a lot of people will be like, oh, this grateful thing. You know, and but if we tie it to the connection, because I do a lot of saliva cortisol testing in my office. And I'll see really high cortisol levels in the morning when someone doesn't really enjoy their life or they're struggling.
When you wake up at social media, oh, everybody else's life is great. Mine is not.
Because you mentioned the most perfect thing. Don't start your morning on your phone.
Yeah.
Chill a little bit.
Or you know, one of the other things that I also teach my people, because a lot of times people are just like, okay, you know, that's just not possible. And I don't like telling people what to do, because obviously they do things that are adapted to them and fitted to their lifestyle. I get that. But then I always tell people to be adaptive. Like if it's causing you anxiety or if it's causing you stress, if you keep doing the same things over and over, expect different results, that's insanity, right? But if it's not working for us anymore, what is it trying to teach us? It's teaching us to change. It's leading us into being more compassionate towards ourselves and other people. And it's teaching us to align with some of the things that we need to do in order to be our better selves. Instead of staying in the loop of anxiety, let's teach ourselves other skills and methods that we can use to not be anxious the first thing we wake up in the morning. If we wake up comparing ourselves to other people, then you can maybe start connecting to, you know, accounts like yours or mine, or, you know, all these positive, like, educators that are now out there, all these naturopathic doctors, acupuncture people, the massage therapist people. It's like so many amazing practitioners and healers that are there spreading messages. I mean, there are so many families that are suffering, but one of the other things that I'm also seeing in this time is there are so many people who are finding themselves soaring and in a state of flow and in a state of gratefulness and doing well, even through these times. Like, I launched a podcast this year, and I'm not saying this to brag, because I've been through some crap and back. If you listen to my first episode of my podcast, you'll see life wasn't always peachy, but I got myself to this place because I refused to be in a place where I wanted to sit in a bathtub and cut myself every day. That wasn't an option anymore. So sometimes you just have to change your thinking, your being, your healing, so that you can be in a place where you are thriving and doing well and having a positive mindset and doing okay in life. So connecting yourself in and through positive accounts and doing and connecting yourself through all this education and information and, you know, affirmations and all this positivity that does exist, it can inspire you. So it has good and bad, but it's just important to know who you're connected to and what you choose to keep out of your life. You know, toxicity can be bad. So don't connect to accounts that make you feel anxious or gives you stress or gives you that sense of comparison and not being good enough.
Yeah. I think that's something to really talk about for a minute, because I think we sometimes are gravitated towards certain accounts that make us feel bad about ourselves. And it's this whole concept.
Unfollow. That's all we have to do. Unfollow, you know?
It's not that hard. Yeah, no. And sometimes we're our own worst enemies and our own worst trauma. You know, you were talking about little T's. I think I have multiple little T's that have grown to a big.
We all do.
Stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things that you were mentioning earlier, you know, geeking out about the gratefulness and the cortisol stuff, like you were mentioning when people wake up in the first thing, right? I was reading this Dr. Joe Dispenza study that he had mentioned a little bit about gratefulness. And he was talking about how they studied 120 participants and they measured that cortisol level, right? And they noticed that when they measured their cortisol over time, just out of feeling stress, one of the things that happens when your sympathetic nervous system, which is your stress nervous system and your cortisol levels, when it's high, and the other part is the parasympathetic nervous system or the relaxation response, right? When you're stressed, they're not balanced. So one is up and one is the other. So the most important thing to do is, if you're stressed, notice that you're in stress, so you can then, you know, trigger your relaxation responses by doing some of the things like gratefulness, breathing, exercising, you know, even just going for a walk, connecting with nature, doing grounding, all of those things, right? So cortisol levels are high in the body. So what happens is, when we are faced with stress, right, the amygdala, which is like the fear center or like the smoke detector of our brain, it just starts lighting up. Then it tells the hippocampus, which is the memory and the learning part of our brain, right? It also tells the hippocampus then goes to the pituitary gland, which releases hormones from adrenaline, which then is the cortisol, right? So the cortisol is released in the body. And the hippocampus, which is like the learning and the memory part of our brain, that's why a lot of times people who are stressed, they can't think clearly. They feel that they have a brain fog. They can't concentrate. They can't remember things properly. Is because hippocampus shrinks in people who don't have good stress responses that are managed with time. It is like a place where there are all these cortisol receptors that are triggered as soon as your stress response goes off. So over time, there is all these cortisol just latches onto it and it atrophies or become smaller with time. So the Joe Dispenza study was that when your cortisol level is high, your IgA, which is the building blocks, the building proteins of your internal defense mechanism, aka your immunity, goes down. And it goes down so significantly, that's one of the reasons why, and he didn't say this, but I've sort of looked at it this in my trauma work, 23%, I mean, 2/3 of the emergency room visits and 2/3 of the PCP visits are stress response related most of the time. You know, it's like, I'm not saying they cause, it's not causative, but they're correlated. Your heart diseases, your obesity, your asthma, your fatigue, your autoinflammation, your autoimmune system responses, they're all triggered when your stress levels are high. And they continue to be high without having good relaxation responses. So what happens is that so they did this study and they did this gratitude thing, right? They were like, okay, all of the participants in a control group were going to do every five to 10 minutes of just feeling gratitude, just being in outside or just breathing fresh air and just feeling thankful for what you had. 5 to 10 minutes a day for 3 times a day. In the period of 2 weeks, they noticed 3 standard deviation in cortisol levels and increase in IgA from 50 to 86%. Wow. If your IgA increases, it means that your immune system is going to be good. If your immune system is good, you fight off all these things that you didn't know you were fighting off. So instead of sitting there worrying about COVID, try to replace it with the things and feeling good. And again, one of the big things with it has to be done. There has to be consistency. You can't just, I'm going to go to the gym once and have a six pack. No, that's not going to happen. So same thing with the mind. If you want to develop habits, if you want to develop mindsets, if you want change, you have to consistently keep doing it over time. And then it just becomes your second nature. It's like when you first learned to do bicycle, you had to keep doing it, fall so many times, and now you don't even think about it. It's not like you forget how to ride a bike or swim or drive or, you know, some of those things that are so etched subconsciously in our brain that it's just become autopilot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's much like that. I think a lot of people, it's the hard part, getting started.
Yes.
That's their struggle.
Yes. And just celebrating small things when you do it. It's like, I was able to accomplish feeling gratitude. That felt really good. Say that to yourself. When you say I'm feeling stressed or you're just stressed, you don't even say you're feeling stressed. You don't even know what's going on. So of course your body is going to do all these things, but you don't know your body is doing all these things.
That's right.
And then you find yourself sick or overwhelmed or, you know, with all this pain. That's your body trying to tell you, look at this. Let's change this. Let's change this.
Yes. Yes. No, I think, you know, looking back in my office and looking at, like you said, 2/3 of visits to primary care doc. I mean, when I look back, heart palpitations, chest pain, you know, fatigue. Fatigue is another big one. And I think we should talk about that because I know a lot of people know that trauma stuck in the body can be pain and it can show up other ways. But I would say that 9 times out of 10, one of the biggest complaints that I have, especially from females, is chronic fatigue. And I'm going to have you take it over in terms of the geeky neuroscience part of that and the psychology behind all of this fatigue.
So My background, my bachelor's was in nutrition science. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens with the fatigue stuff, as you know. There's the psychology behind it, and then there's the nutrition part also behind it, as you know, and I'm sure your audience have heard it from you enough. That, you know, fatigue can be lack of there has to be all these medical rule out to fatigue too, because if you have low D3, if you have low iron, if you have some of these autoimmune stuff, if you have autoinflammation stuff going on, you know, fatigue is one of the symptoms of some of those diseases. So you have to get it looked at medically and get that ruled out. But, and that's one of the reasons why people end up going to PCPs. But then when everything comes back normal, it's like, oh, everything is normal. Nothing is wrong with you. Well, why do I feel all this fatigue then? Mm-hmm. Why do I feel all so tired all the time? So this is my neuroscience theory behind it. One of the things that I find, it's like, you know, people who are going through depression or people who've been through trauma, right? Over time, they have learned the stress responses are so high that the emotional part of their brain, there is a cingulate. So I was talking about the amygdala. I was talking about the memory hippocampus part of your brain. Then there is a part of your brain called insula, which helps you. It's called, there is a concept called propriation in terms of trauma that gets dysregulated very much. And that's the part of our brain that allows us to feel into our body, which means that it feels, you know, you feel cold when it's cold, you feel warm, you feel comforted, you feel, you know, fatigue. That part of your brain over time with stress responses gets dysregulated. And then there is another part of your brain that regulates emotions, that's anterior cingulate. So that part of your brain gets, you know, the emotional regulation part, because when you're fatigued, when you're stressed, you feel angry, you're just so tired, you don't want to do anything, you just want to sleep all the time, you don't have all this energy. So when I was talking to you about insula, it's like, if you don't learn good techniques to master your stress over time, your trauma can really have an impact, because all these emotional things that happen in your subconscious, like I was telling you, whether you like it or not, man or women or children, anybody that has a brain will have this happening to them, because we think, oh, man up, be strong, don't feel these things. We don't feel anything. It's okay. No, you feel it. Your brain is very much telling your body all these things when you're going through stress responses or when you're triggered by certain things that are happening around you in your circumstance or in your environment. So it's really important to know that when you feel fatigue, you have to start doing. And I know the worst time to start is when you do feel it, mm-hmm. but that means that you have some kind of unresolved trauma that is so subconsciously etched in your body that you need to somehow go to a professional or go to a massage therapist or go to an acupuncturist or go to people like you who really know what to do with that fatigue and that stress over time. Because if you don't treat it, it continues to be there. You have to learn all these coping mechanisms and all these relaxation techniques and tools that are out there. It can be easily treated, but you just have to continue to change some of the behavioral aspects of it in order to not feel that over time. And I know when you feel fatigue, that's the worst thing that, you know, when people say, go exercise. There's a concept called neuroplasticity. When I was telling you, your brain actually gets smaller in people with PTSD and high stress responses over time. You can actually, the good news is the brain, that part of your brain can also enlarge and get back to normal over time. There's the concept is called neuroplasticity. Your brain has the ability to change with time. So, and things like exercise, and I know exercise is like such a bad rep, and exercise doesn't have to be, oh, you know, high performance exercise, just going out for a walk in nature or just around your house or just sitting outside, literally, because with your feet on the ground can be very grounding and healing. And just breathing, sitting there and breathing, you're really regulating parts of your brain that I just mentioned that are dysregulated. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do those things, and if you keep complaining about fatigue, stress, overwhelm, and, you know, all this stuckness that you feel, you're going to continue to feel it if you don't make these behavioral changes that are required of you. That I'm not saying everybody go to therapy. As much as I love and I would love for everybody to go to therapy, I know that not everybody's ready for it. I know not therapy is not right for everyone. But you just have to find the right practitioner that can help you through this process, because There is absolutely treatment for it. You can do something about it. You can resolve it from your subconscious and you can treat it so it doesn't keep coming up and surfacing over and over again. I mean, there is hypnotherapy, there is EMDR. There's all these different treatment modalities that we use to help people with stress and fatigue and, unresolved stuff over time.
I love that you mentioned that you've got to do something about it and stop looking for a magic pill, because people have been to me and, you know, yes, we can try herbs. We can try all of the amount of ginseng and whatnot and B vitamins. And if they work for like a week and then they shut down, that's a trauma response.
So unresolved trauma over time. And that's one of the biggest things. Like when I work with my people with addiction or hardcore depression, I mean, I treat depression, trauma, addiction, grief and loss. I mean, talk about hardcore, you know? So over time, I send them to people like you when we hit plateau, or I send them to acupuncture. I send them to, you know, it's like a holistic way of looking at things. Like they come to me, I work with all these other practitioners. We overall work on mind, body, brain, and spirit. It has to be an overall experience. It didn't just happen in your mind. It affects all these different areas of your brain, your body, your, you know, spirit. So all of those areas have to be healed simultaneously. And just like they, you know, like you said, there is no pill or nutrition alone will fix it. Therapy alone won't fix it. Sometimes therapy, you know, exercising or just distracting yourself and keeping busy and not looking at it is not going to fix it. Over time, it's going to keep surfacing. Over time, it's going to keep happening. It has to be resolved all the way to your core.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned something really interesting that I hear a lot from patients, keeping busy. I have so many people that are like, if I just stay busy, I don't have to think about what's happened to me. And I'm like, you realize by keeping busy, you keep your body thinking it's running a marathon every day.
Yes.
Either you're tired.
Yep. Absolutely.
A lot from people about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's what in the hard world, keeping busy is not the part of the solution. It can be a temporary band-aid, but it doesn't, it's, you know, sometimes I tell my patient and gently, because I want well for them. It's not that therapy is a place where you just come in hardcore, just start looking and, you know, open up a can of worms and just start looking at things. It's also not a place where we are your rent a friend and you just come and keep talking about your stuff. You know, our objective is to have a treatment plan. What is it that you're going through? Let's assess things that you might be feeling. And then let's try to see ideally, where do you see yourself in life? And what do you want out of being in this experience? You know, so we go through it step by step, gently, very empathetically, non-judgmental approach to just healing so that you don't have to just, oh, keep busy and distract yourself and not look at things because they're there. And, you know, I treat people at this point in California, I don't really work with kids. Sometimes I make an exception, but I have seen kids as young as 7 and people as old as 90. And one of the things that I tell people is that if you don't look at things over time, it'll catch up to you. If not now, you can keep running from it, but at some point it'll catch up. Life has a way of bringing our adversities to a point where it explodes so that we can look at things, we can learn from it, we can grow from it, and we can come to a place of forgiveness towards ourselves for not knowing better, for going through these things, and just in general, kindness to ourselves of after having gone through so much stuff, you know? So I don't know. It's really important to make sure that we look at some of these things. Otherwise, they compound and get worse over time.
So huge. So huge. And of course, that's why I want to put out the awareness. I'm sure that's the whole premise of your awareness.
Yeah.
Transformation, you know, with trauma transformations and things. And I think traumatic transformations, too many T words. Transformations, everyone. That is her podcast. Yeah. Too many T's. Blah, 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 blah,
in traumatic transformations with Gunjani Patel. Yep. That's it. Because I really think that we all go through trauma and we all need hope. We all just want peace. You know, it's like, it's so important to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, because when you're going through really dark times, it can be tough. Yeah. I get that. I'm not discounting that at all. But having seen other people go through it can maybe inspire some hope and maybe inspire some changes and triggers and strategies that they used as a part of some self-work. Because I believe as much as therapy is important that and you do the work in therapy, the work that you do outside of therapy is just as important for that change, for that, you know, wisdom, for that growth and for the evolution of your soul. So it is absolutely important to stay plugged into these things and this, learning and self-improving and personal development things outside by reading books, by staying connected to podcasts, by, you know, working outside of sessions so you can actually expedite the process of healing instead of being looking at it as something that's really difficult. No, it's not for me. Or no, I'm not crazy. You don't have to be crazy to be in therapy.
No. You're just looking to get better. And
exactly. Heal and just adapt to new. It's like sometimes what works for us at 16 stops working for us at 25 or at 45, you know? So it's just, okay, it's not working anymore. So I forgive it. It's limiting me. And I need more adaptive ways of coping and being my best version as opposed to, oh, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing this because that's what we do. No, life is not about that.
Life is too short.
Yes.
Not feel good and get the mind right for sure.
Absolutely.
So Gunjini, where can folks find you? Now we've established Traumatic Transformations podcast. Where can they find you on Instagram? Where can they find you if they want to work with you in person or online? How does all that work?
Okay. So thank you so much for mentioning that. I really appreciate that. So like I said, Traumatic Transformations with Gunjini Patel on all the podcast places that they have. My personal email, I don't mind people emailing me, is gpatel@gpatelcounseling.com. My website is gpatelcounseling.com. My Instagram handle is gpatelcounseling@gpatelcounseling. And then my Facebook page also is @gpatelcounseling. So they can reach me anytime they want. If you have pregnant and new moms on your podcast or as your audience, I also recently just founded a group that puts the focus back on pregnant moms or new moms and focuses the mental wellness of them. Because I know when I recently had a brush up with postpartum depression and how big that was for me. And, you know, I would research all these things on what to expect, when to expect and all those things, car seats, baby formulas, breastfeeding, but I would never see people talking about mental struggles and mental wellness part of that. So I founded a group called Pregnant and New Moms Mental Wellness Support Group on Facebook. It's like a closed private group where people can join and really get the support, help through all the struggles, because that is a small T or a big T for some moms. It's a big struggle the first few years of life, and it's not easy to go through it alone. And all the support you can get and all the niceness, positivity, and non-judgmental, encouraging environment that you can get and all the self-care and stuff. So we're really big on that in that group. And then I also have an IG handle for that, which is pregnant_newmoms_tribe. Because I just want to have a community. And then I have my personal blog community where people can join and learn and support and encourage. I recently just started my blog. So it's called gpatelcounseling.com/blog. And you just go there and sign up. Instead of having a Facebook page, I wanted to have a blog that actually, you know, a community of people where people encourage each other. All my podcasters were on there. You can get, you know, help from different coaches that teach habits and all these different topics that I discuss in my podcast. And if they want to reach other people, I want to have a group of like-minded, you know, community of people who are there for each other, practitioners and people who are looking to heal and looking to better themselves. So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. My goodness. You are one busy, busy man. Okay. I'm going to make sure, folks, for everyone that's listening, I'm going to have all that on the show notes at drjkrausnd.com. Plus, of course, if you are following me on social media at Dr. Jeanine Krause, you'll also find lots of cross promotion with Gunjini as well, because this is such a big topic, the trauma, but also the postpartum depression. I see so many ladies struggling, and no, there's not enough resources, and you are definitely stepping up, and I love it.
Thank you. No, I think it's just important. My biggest thing is to be able to help, inspire, and impact people and just pay it forward. I had been there, and I just think that at some point, I want to be able to help other people going through the same thing, you know, but showing them hope that there is hope. It's not always, it takes time to get used to things. It takes time to heal. But then when you're there, you must pay forward.
Absolutely. Well, Gunjini, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. We will keep you coming on back and forth because we're going to have to geek out some more on some science business.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited to be here and would love to be back. Thanks.
Hey, Health Junkies, I hope you enjoyed my podcast. If you want to continue the conversation based on what topic I'm talking about at any given time on the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix. It's where we are talking about what's going on in health, what I'm talking about in the podcast, and I love to answer questions there. So come hang out and join the conversation. And by the way, right now I have a free Manage Your Stress Naturally course that you can grab on my website at drjkrausnd.com, because so many people are stressed out right now, and really it has to do with the basics, your routines and simple habits that are messing you up. So head on over to drjkrausnd.com and go check out my free course on managing stress naturally. All right, folks, have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.